Steelers fans, if you dare be a Cardinal fan, coming up. The I want to make mention that last night at one of the studies we have two small group studies on Saturday, and the one at Acri's last night, the teens outnumbered the adults, and it didn't even start out as a teen study. And so thank you, teens, for encouraging us over there. Also, it was 10 teens to 7 adults. I didn't think you could get that many people in their living room that they had, but there was actually a couple that were going to come that didn't make it because they had to work. And also, this is part of a family series that we've had. This will be the last lesson on a series on lessons concerning the family, including the church family. And you can have all these lessons. You can grab them. They're all up to date. On the left side of the CD ministry we have. If you miss some, you can grab them. They're all there. We'll make more. We have a couple marriage series on the five love languages and on Song of Solomon. And we also have a number of lessons that we had on the parenting and youth. And then we have one lesson we had just on the church family, where we are and where we work. And then today, I want to cover a lesson that is near and dear to my heart. It's an issue that, you know, I've always really valued, and I hope you do too. It's on honoring the aged among us, is the title of this morning's lesson. Honoring the aged among us. You know, we have a tendency in the church to try to focus on everything for youth. What can we do to help make things better for the youth? Have this youth program, that youth program. And there's nothing wrong with having a focus for the youth. But I want to hopefully turn your focus on to having something with the youth toward the elderly. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the facts are very clear that abuse of the elderly is on an incredible increase in our country. Just in the past few decades, you've seen things change quite a bit. According to the best estimates, I went to the National Center of Elder Abuse for D.C., and they say that 1 to 2 million Americans above 65 have been injured, exploited, or otherwise mistreated by someone whom they were ultimately dependent on someone else's care. Data on the elder abuse in domestic settings suggests that 1 in 14 incidents, excluding self-neglect, come to the attention of the authorities. Only 1 in 14 are actually reported. It's estimated that 1 in 25 suggest, if you take that estimate on another study, that there's over 5 million that are financially abused every year. It's amazing, these people are stealing from the elderly. It's estimated that for every one case of elder abuse, neglect, or exploitation, that there's 5 more just in that category that go unreported. In 2003, it's estimated they took 20,673 cases of abuse of elders in our country, and they examined them. Here's what they found out. Among the 7 types of abuse, physical abuse was actually the most common example of abuse. I saw a video this week where a woman who was entrusted to care for a 90-year-old elderly man, they set up a hidden camera, and when she didn't think anybody was looking, she'd constantly be hitting him in the head, be smacking this 90-year-old man because he'd soiled himself. And yet it was her job to take care of him. I'm persuaded, as thousands of others, that as our nation has neglected the religion of Christianity, when you do that, when you say, you know, Christianity's bad, bad Christianity, drive Christianity out of the culture, the result is you're going to drive the morals out along with it. And it's resulted in an abuse to the elderly, which is completely unacceptable. This has always been one of the signs of a nation in decline. Before the destruction of Jerusalem, in the days of Jeremiah, the Bible stated in Lamentations 5, verse 12, that the elders were not respected. And before the nation divided into over 100 years worth of civil war, Rehoboam, as the passage that Chris had read, Rehoboam did not listen to the advice of the elders. But he consulted his skateboard buddies that he grew up with to make a major decision. And it says he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted the young men who grew up with him and served him, his yes man. And here's a young man surrounding himself with a bunch of young men, and instead of lifting the burden that his father Solomon had put on the people, he said, I'm going to do the exact opposite, which wise men have advised me to do, and I'm going to go ahead and increase their burden. And it gave Jeroboam, son of Nebat, exactly the grip he needed to split the nation of Israel into the northern and the southern kingdoms. A division that would last completely through the time of the carrying on into Babylon. In fact, Assyria just took out Israel. Judah was taken out later on by Babylon. Every civilization that has ever fallen, there is a direct correlation to how that society interacted with the elderly. And when a nation neglects and rejects the elderly among them, that society's existence will be shortened or completely eradicated if it is not turned around. And on the other hand, when a nation reveres and honors the aged among them, it can cause an abundance of blessings to overflow in that community. Here are but a few of the marvelous benefits that God has for you and the elderly. First of all, we honor the aged for the sake of reverence, for the sake of reverence to God. In Leviticus 19, verse 32, it says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed one and honor the aged, and you shall revere the God. I am Jehovah. God requires the people of his own possession to be zealous for his good works. This is exactly inclusive to honoring the aged. The word honor means to show favor, to lend importance to another. And it's not something that happens by accident. It only happens through reevaluation and application. You don't just happen to honor somebody. You have to plan to honor somebody. And when we rise up before the aged and treat them as important and favored among us, we're reverencing God the way that he wants us to do that. He's the one who's called for us to reverence him through the aged. We do that. He's the one that's picked the day of their birth that made them older than you, not us. We didn't pick their date of birth. He's the one that has allowed them to store up great experiences of life. Not us. We didn't pick that. He's the one that made them in the likeness of him, not us. He's the one that's kept their hearts pumping and their lungs breathing and their arms moving and their legs walking and their eyes seeing and their mind thinking all these years. It's not us. They were here before us. And the Bible states in Psalm 111, verse 19, or verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. God is the one who's reverent. But we can recognize how reverent he really is by using the elderly as a tool in his hand. When we honor the elderly, it's all about him. When the more seasoned citizens of heaven can be a tool for demonstrating that reverence to God, and we honor them, God's saying, that's exactly what I want from you. We honor the aged for the sake of reverence. Because if we don't, God can't be holy and reverent is his name. We shame God when we don't honor the elderly. You know, Abby and I, we were up at Walmart a few months back. And I was back in the auto parts section. And there was this, like, probably 17, 18, 19-year-old kid. And he was there with his mom and his friend. And he couldn't find something he was looking for there. And his mom said, well, maybe I can look it up for you. And this kid was cursing his mom. I mean, just, I don't even attempt to go where in the things he said. Every other word was a cuss word, and it was flagrant, it was yelling. And you know Abby, okay? She's pretty sheltered. She is. She has her own world that she has made. It's a protective world. It's the girl in the spiritual bubble. She'll confront you in a heartbeat. And Abby was like, her mouth was wide open. She looked at me, and she didn't even know what to say. And about 30 seconds after this guy got off his rant, Abby said, can you believe that this is that kid's mom? And she wanted me to say something. And there was probably 10 other people around. They were like Fred Sanford going to have a heart attack. And so I thought, I'm going to make this kid pay for that. And so I said just loud enough so this kid could hear. And I said to Abby, Abby, you know what I would do to you if you said that to me, don't you? She said, well, I wouldn't exist. I said, that's correct. I said, that's a shameful thing when somebody curses their parents. That's a sign of great ignorance and disrespect and someone who's about to be clobbered by the consequences of God. And this big thug-looking guy who was with him was standing behind him just laughing at him. That kid had gone from this big down to about the size of a toenail. And then somebody, as we were walking away, somebody who came out from behind the paint aisle said, yeah, thanks for saying that. But the disrespect, it was incredible. I don't know about you. When we were growing up, you didn't go up to John and Mary Smith next door and say, when you were 12 years old, hey, John, hey, Mary, how you going? You know what would happen in that generation. You'd be looking up at the clouds. I got smacked one time. I called Wilma Anderson next door. Wilma. And if the neighbor smacked you for saying that, you got home, if you complained, you got smacked again. And I grew up in a heathen house. You see, we cannot show reverence for God if we don't honor the elderly. And we honor the aged for the sake of wisdom. For the sake of wisdom. The elderly in a congregation are the greatest vessels of wisdom that we could ever tap into as a church family. With years of life, there usually comes with that years of wisdom. In Job 12, verse 12, he says, wisdom is with the aged men, and with long life is understanding. In 32, verse 7 of the same book, he says, I thought age should speak, and increased years should teach wisdom. In Proverbs 20, verse 29, the glory of the young men is their strength, but the honor of the age, the old man is their gray hair. You know, as many of you are aware, I did not grow up in a home that offered good guidance. It just didn't exist. Many of the lessons I learned in life came from being exposed to trial and error. Oh, you shouldn't do this because you get clobbered later on. And then, you know, I learned the art of learning from my peers' failures. You know, if you see somebody get whacked for something they did, you say, wow, you know, I figured it's something out new here. And every now and then, you know, I was always in constant search to try and find people who could give me wisdom because I didn't have that growing up. And every now and then I would find somebody, and it always seemed like, though, whenever I had a good source of wisdom that came into my life, either death or relocation or distractions of the world would take them away from me. And it wasn't until I found Christ in the church that I was blessed with an abundant source of wisdom. You know, I called the preacher nearly every single day, Wayne Walling, after I still had his number burned in my mind. 319-338-4441. See, you got to edit that, Tim, and make it a 555 number if we distribute this. But I called him all the time. I'd say, hey, Wayne, how about this? How about this? I was always trying to pick his brain. I had a new source of wisdom. And one of the elders, Lindy Presson, became and remains one of my good friends and mentors to this day. I constantly would go over to his place. I thought, wow, I mean, we got two good sources of wisdom in my life right now. And when I went to Sunset School of Preaching, I found many, many Christian men older than me, full of wisdom. We called some teachers, some elders, some were called preachers. I learned so much from them. And at my first work, there were men like Roscoe Imhoff and Dale Bonnet that I spent many, many hours a week with. They were in their 70s, and yet I just found myself gleaning from that. In fact, some of my greatest times were with Roscoe Imhoff. He grew up in the Depression, and we'd drive through rural Iowa, and he'd say, yeah, there used to be a shop here, and there used to be a shop here. He'd tell me what it was like before the interstate came in and entire towns just became ghost towns. He said, we lived in a house here, and we'd drive out in a field where their old house used to be, and a grove was growing around it, and we'd go through, and he said, right here is where this is right here where we brought our first child in. And he'd go all through these things, and I just love spending time with him to hear how it used to be from the mind of somebody who was there, not from a book, but from somebody who was there. And no matter where you go, the church is the greatest source of wisdom you will ever find, and the elderly among the church is the greatest source among the greatest source. It's the elderly. It was through Paul Cantrell, I'm going to mention him this morning, that I've learned to become a better preacher, an older man teaching a younger man. It was through older women like Ann Bauer and Frances Sheets I've learned to the simplicities of being a Christian and enjoying that. It was through older man named Bob Williams that I've learned the wisdom of not jumping to hasty conclusions. You ever see Bob Williams panic? You haven't. Can you imagine him and Scotty from Star Trek as roommates? It'd be a sitcom, wouldn't it? I can't hold it any longer, Captain. Bob would say, well, let's look at the situation. Even Jane Patrick, I'm going to count you in the elderly group, Jane. I've learned the value of a solid Bible education can be given to young kids. They don't always have to hear just Bible songs. She gives them some good meat. I have had great experience simply visiting Bernice, Arlene, Warren, and Faynell. Rita, I've had good chats with her. Eddie Shaw, we've had lots of good chats. And many others of the like. If you're not tapped in, if you're not honoring the aged simply from the standpoint of wisdom, you're ripping yourself off. Something terrible. We honor the aged for the sake of wisdom. But we also honor the aged for the sake of fellowship. Doesn't matter what century the church is in. There is no generational gap within the church. There shouldn't be. I always get a kick out of people when they buy into those labels like, well, baby boomers and Generation Y and postmodern. You know, you hear all these terms. People are trying to seek for something to identify themselves. You know, I recently found out I'm of Generation Jones. I was born in 65. Baby boomers ended 64. Okay? So I can't qualify as a baby boomer. I am, though, a Generation Jones. Apparently, I'm supposed to keep up with the Jones. That's what that means. Okay? I knew a poor family named Jones. We didn't have to keep up with them. They were keeping up with the Smiths. No pun intended, Dave. But I actually had an all-wise brother a few years ago. He was what he called himself a postmodern Generation Xer, born after 1980. That's what that means. And he was telling me there's a huge lack of communication between them and the GI generation, which came from 1925 to 1945, and then the baby boomers, which was 55 to 64. He was explaining there's this huge problem. They're not communicating. And he says, but I feel I can communicate you because you're born in 65 and you're not of the baby boomers. And I thought to myself, what in the world are you talking about? And where are you getting this stuff? Where in the world are you classifying everyone? I like when people will just, it doesn't matter. Because if the younger were to honor the older, you would have relationships. There would be no generational gaps at all. The elders need to be looked up to by the younger. And I kind of want to give you a little test, okay? We've got some younger people here. Raise your hand if you're under 15. Okay? Okay. Ask yourself how many of these people in this building right now that you have a personal relationship with in any way that are over 65. God does not want that. You should know every single person over the age of 65 in this congregation. That's a big challenge. But you can't honor somebody you don't know. You can't do it. And I give you the same challenge. There are people here in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who don't have a personal relationship with the elderly in the congregation. I've had conversations. I mentioned somebody was in the hospital. Now, which one is that? And they've been coming here for years. Which one is that? There's a zero chance that you can honor somebody you don't even know. Can't do it. And that's why they're to be looked up to and honored in whatever generation they are in. You know, in 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2, we're told, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as father, and a younger man as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger as sisters, with all purity. I've been to many places in the world, and I really like how they carry this passage out in Western Africa. There's no other place that I know of where they take it this serious. When someone's of a ripe old age, they look at that as a source of honor and judgment and guidance. The younger are not seeking to flee from the elderly, but they embrace the elderly and seek to have them among them. It's a great honor to have somebody. You know, in this country, people lie about their age to say they're younger. In Africa, they don't lie to say they're younger. If they ever lie, they'll say they're older, because that's a good thing. We've worshipped the youth here for far too long. You know, over in Western Africa, a thing that I noticed that I've actually tried to borrow from them, they call every older man dad. And the older women, mom. Mom. I really like that. Try that sometime. When you see an older person, older lady you don't know, If you go visit somebody in a nursing home and you don't know their name, it's okay to call them Ma. It's a term of endearment that I look at you and your age and your experience in life. I'm going to honor that. They really have no generation gap that I could see when I've been there. If you want a fellowship in the congregation to take off like a rocket, try honoring the aged. If you want to have the greatest unity ever afforded a congregation, honor the elderly. You might be saying, but I don't know what to say. Well, just honor them by spending time with them. Listen to them. Learn from them. Just visit them. We honor the aged for the sake of fellowship. And if we truly believe that, watch how God will bless you. And we honor the aged for the sake of righteousness. The sake of righteousness. Peter says of the new Christians in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And then Paul says something similar in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to babes in Christ. He says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it, for even now you are even fleshly. They're using terms where they're describing like a baby is born into a family. He takes time to grow. There'll be many spit-ups, soiled diapers, baby steps early on. If you have a child, if you're new to having a baby, and you thought they were clean like on TV, surprise, surprise. You thought clothespins were done away with. They're not. The parenting, man, that's a tough job. And yet, that baby will someday, through the course of time, become a child, and then a teenager, a young adult, and then a full-grown adult and a mature individual. And that's what Paul's talking about. That's what Peter's talking about. They're reminding the Christians, you're born again into the family of God, and there needs to be time to grow. We will trip up in our unrighteousness, and we need to get up and press on to maturity. Ultimately, the relationship of those that are more mature are going to be needed to bring others to a higher level of righteousness. Honoring the aged brings about righteousness in the lives of the young. It really does. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. If you put a foolish man among wise men, he becometh wise, Solomon said. And when you put immature, brand new children of God around more matured, seasoned individuals in the congregation who've had decades and decades of experience working out problems, your righteousness will improve. They're there for you. Proverbs 16:31 says, a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. In Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 8, we're told that the older men need to be teaching the younger men to be sensible, and the older women are need to teach the younger women to mature in their relationships. Older teaches the younger. Older teaches the younger. The attraction that keeps them together is that the younger are honoring the aged. Because if you honor the aged, you'll see the value that is now intrinsically built in to that seasoned citizen of heaven. And so, by honoring the aged, we can do it for the sake of righteousness. And I'm convinced that babes in Christ can never reach a level of righteousness in their life apart from more mature Christians. It can't happen. The first step of the elderly would be the parents. They're to honor their mother and father, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, that their days may be long on the earth. From there, the honor is transferred to the older members, like grandparents and others of that generation. We honor the aged for the sake of righteousness. I want to tell you a story. I want to close with this story. A few years back, when my oldest son, Adam, was 15, he had purchased a motorized vehicle, his first one. which was a moped. And naturally, he was excited about this, and he found himself driving all over this rural town that we lived in, this little town in Iowa. And as any father would be, I was apprehensive about him heading off in something that goes faster than walking speed. And so I'd keep an eye on him. And I didn't want him out after dark at all. But it has a headlight, Dad, and blinkers and stuff, I know. But just, we'll grow into that. You're a day driver now. Well, as it began to get dark one night, I was upset because I wanted him home at a certain time. So I started driving around this little town. You know, you got to really understand, when you live in a little town in Iowa, okay, it's not like here. You wouldn't drive around this metropolitan area looking for somebody. But in Osceola, Iowa, you can literally cover all the streets within an hour. The whole town. And that's what I was doing. And I drove around, then I saw, there was his little moped. It was in front of one of our widow's homes, Ivy Shepherd. And I was still upset because, you know, well, why would he do that? And I went up to the door, and I was about ready to knock on it, and there I saw him sitting on a chair, just laughing and having the best time with this lonely widow. That was 50 years his senior. Actually, 60 years his senior. And it looked like a couple teenagers just laughing, and she was serving him like some chips, and he was sitting down, and a couple times he took her hand and just laughed, and they were just going back and forth. And then, I mean, he was just visiting her. And that widow was so excited to have someone young take an interest in her life. And I remember standing on that step. I was upset with him before. I didn't even knock on the door. After about 2 minutes of just seeing him through the door, having a great time with somebody that most people forgot, I just went home. I made a call over there, gave him about 15 more minutes. And then she picked up the phone and said, oh, yeah, he's here. I said, well, you having a good time? Oh, I'm having a great time, she said. I said, just tell him when he's done, come on. I was really proud of him. I don't know many 15-year-old boys with the freedom of a moped would go and spend time with somebody who's been a widow for decades and have a great time doing it. He was the blessed one. And too many times, we do not take the time to encourage the elderly in the ways that we could. If you're under the age of 30, look around the congregation and ask yourself these questions. In fact, I dare all of you to ask yourself these questions. How many of these wonderful senior saints do I have a personal relationship with? Two, have I taken the time to honor these seniors with a visit in their homes or even the hospital? Have I gone out of my way to pray for them, write them an encouraging card, eaten a meal with them, or even taken a meal over to them? And have I sat and listened to their stories of the past and gleaned through their years of wisdom? They're not going to be with us long. And every day that goes by that we don't honor them, it's going to be a missed opportunity to reverence God, strengthen the fellowship, increase our wisdom, and improve in our righteousness. I beg you, don't put it off. Take the time today and make that commitment. Go up to somebody that you don't know who's gray. Just pledge you're going to take the time to get to know them and you're going to honor them. Stop ripping yourself off and start benefiting. If you want to respond for any reason at all this morning, we offer an invitation for you to come forward at this time while we stand and sing.